WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network. We're here at WildTalkRadio.com, streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network. I am Sir Rockin', and joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
It's another Monday night. We're here. There's still snow on the ground in Georgia. Yay! But I have power. I have interwebs. I have Skype.
And Skype, I'm good to go. Skype is working correctly.
Skype is working correctly after 3 days. Yay.
This show is presented by GirlWork.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Journey Day. Instagram.com/MBG1211.
And not Skype.
And not Skype. I think we should start the show where we just ended with Monday Night Raw. And the Battle of Monsters for the number one contendership for the WWE Universal title at the Royal Rumble. Braun Strowman and Kane.
I think we should screw around for 15 minutes before we actually get to it.
Yeah. So, at 10:45, Lindsay goes, so they're going to go have, they're really going to have a long match? And then the match started like at 11 o'clock. Like, they did a bit where Braun, like, interrupted Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews and Dana Brooke, who Dana Brooke is now part of the Titus Worldwide. She's a statistician and head of research and development. And then he runs through, and then apparently it took him 15 minutes to, and there's Gallows and Anderson there calling them nerds. But, like, it took 15 minutes for Braun to find the ring. Because they showed the video package highlighting the feud. They showed the ring crew reinforcing the ring. But what they did not reinforce was the barricade. As both men went through the barricade, ended in a double countout. They brawled for more after that. We had a stare-off. Not where you're staring each other down. We had two men with stares, and we had a stare-off. Kane did not win that battle. And then Braun... Okay, so Braun was looking under the ring, and you know the gimmick he's been doing by trying to, you know, injure the throat of someone. We believe he was looking for a chair, but what did he end up with?
A wheelie cart. The little furniture carts that they use.
Yeah.
I guess to move things, yeah. I'd not quite sure what he was going to do that with that, because I think it was a little short, and Kane noped it.
He was like, nope, not going to do this one. Kane found the chair, though.
Kane did find the chair, and then he proceeded to beat Braun with it. Like, here's the freaking chair. It was on the other side of the ring the whole time. You know, and he's, like, using the chair shots as emphasis for Braun not finding the chair.
Will you please vote for me with every chair shot I give Braun Strowman?
Vote for Kane!
They double close on each other. Kane sits up, and then Braun learns the Undertaker Kane sit up, and then the Monster Among Men put... Kane with a running power slam through the table after Kane missed the choke slam.
I really kind of want Kane and Braun to become friends.
Why is that?
I feel like it could be entertaining.
It could.
And Kane's had no one since Daniel Bryan,
So, you know, this could be good for him.
It could. LeMann's bringing a point. Are they going to do a triple threat? Or, honestly, they put whoever they want in a fight against Brock. We all know he's not losing until Mania. So, might as well put Balor against him since Vince doesn't see him as the main event or caliber talent. Well, that's why he's not in the match. He's not over enough, which Finn is having so much fun with.
He is having so much fun with.
He also beat Curtis Axel tonight.
He did. After Bo and Curtis mocked him.
Yeah. So there's that. I mean, they could do a triple threat match, which they probably will end up doing, probably. Because I know Braun not winning doesn't help him, but losing to Brock would hurt him, especially going into WrestleMania.
Yeah, that would hurt him just a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll get deeper into that as things go on if they do in fact go in that direction. So we'll talk about this Thursday in more detail, but someone was removed from from his number one contendership, so they had to do a second chance fatal four way featuring Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Mustafa Ali, and Arya Davari. In the end, it saw Cedric Alexander become the number one contender, and he will face he won this right to earn a shot at the number one contendership. He'll fight Drew Gulak next week for the number one contendership. We had a lot of back and forth with Gulak and Enzo in the show talking before the match. It was like they were talking back and forth, and you know, you have to be, Enzo was talking about a list of opponents. He named Nia Jax in it, and then Nia and Drew was like, so like, you're just trying to prepare me for any types of challenges, right? Yeah, okay, got that. And then after the match, they were backstage, and Enzo, and he was talking, and Gulak mentioned becoming champion, and Enzo wasn't happy about it, and he was almost calling Gulak's PowerPoints soft, but that was not what word did he use? What the hell was the word he actually used?
I don't remember.
It's going to drive me nuts. Anyway.
You'll remember, like, right after we go off the air,
too. I'll totally remember right after we go off the air. So, anyway, Nia appeared, and she went face-to-face with Enzo, and, you know, she was like, I like his presentations, too, and informative.
Yeah, informative, that's it.
Informative. I was getting, thank you, LeMans. Yes, Gulak. Gulak called him informative. Thank you. So Nia told Enzo that they should talk when he's not busy, and, you know, do Gulak is what, the awkward third wheel?
Yeah, pretty much. Although, honestly, I would rather see a Nia-Gulak thing than Enzo and Nia.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on the match and everything that I just went through?
Well, the entire situation is entirely unfortunate. Like you said, we're going to talk about it Thursday. I mean, what happened definitely screwed up their plans, but obviously they had a backup plan.
Well, they came up with a backup plan because they were forced to come up with a backup plan.
Yeah, but I mean, the match was fun. It was perfectly good. Drew Gulak was entertaining on commentary. Still love the PowerPoint shtick. Still want to see one of his PowerPoints.
I think he's done a couple parts of them on 205 Live, but he's never done a full presentation.
I actually, if I could get away with it at work, want to build like a full presentation and send it to him, but I could never get away with that at work. Ever.
You know, one day.
I actually want to build an online and send it to him.
There you go. One of the other storylines throughout the show was the stuff with Absolution. They took on Mandy Rose and Paige. Or no, the Mandy Rose and Paige of Absolution took on Bayley and Mickie James. Sasha was at ringside. Sonya was at ringside. The match was okay. I'll say this about Mandy, my observation for the match, because it was the first time really getting to see her in a long form type thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's good. Her offense needs work, but she's always in the right place. She can take a bump, which other people who have been put in her position have not been able to do. So she's ahead of the game there. That's the positive on it. Bayley and Mickey lost to Mandy and Paige, but which was the right outcome because you're trying to build up this group.
It was, although Absolution got a little Absolution tonight when the entire roster like beat them the hell down.
So it was supposed to be Asuka versus Alicia, and well, things didn't go so well. They were basically saying either with us or against us, and well, they go after her. Paige gets locked in an armbar. The other girls come in, they're beating her down, and then the entire division comes out to make the save. Thoughts?
I liked the united front on the division. Like, I really, really did. I thought that was very well done, where you had everybody, including Alexa, come out. I just don't know if I'm feeling Absolution. Like, there's something about it where, and I know I've kind of been against it from the start, so I know it's been working against my like of it, but there's just, it feels like there's something missing from it. like there's just something not quite clicking. Like you look at the Riot Squad and the Riot Squad is clicking on all cylinders. This is clicking. It's like kind of working, but it's not what it could be. And I just don't know what that intangible quality is. I still feel like if you change Mandy's gear and you lined her more up with the other two, that it would work better. Because it's like, if you look at the Riot Squad, it's like Liv dresses totally different from the other two, but she's lining her color choices up so they all kind of match.
Right.
Whereas it's like, you've got Sonya and Paige who are on the same wavelength, and then here's Gold and Barbie. So, you know, I feel like if you kind of retooled Mandy a little bit, that would help it. Offense is definitely not her forte.
No.
But she tried.
She tried. Here's my problem with this, the one thing that happened. They had Alexa out there. I don't think Alexa should have been involved in that beatdown.
No, I feel like she should have.
I think she should have stayed neutral. I really thought she should have stayed neutral on that thing.
But if you have the entire roster minus a champion come out,
you could have had her on the stage looking on.
Eh, I don't think it hurts her either way.
But it didn't help her because she felt like a second tier player when she's the champion.
But for one night, they can make it up.
If they follow up and she's put in a stronger position, that's fine. But it felt like they devalued her a little bit in that matter.
A little bit, but it was for the greater good.
We hope.
We hope.
Now, the main storyline of the show was the situation that took place last week, featuring Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns against Cesaro, Sheamus, and Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe came out to open up Monday Night Raw and talk about how he's basically not afraid of the Shield. He's not impressed by the Shield. And he know he's going to face Dean Ambrose tonight, but he wanted Roman Reigns. And it took forever for, like, Roman Reigns to answer a challenge. He had just Joe just running him down over and over again. And Ambrose finally went to get Roman. They saw what was going on. Roman took his sweet-ass time to get to the ring. They brawled. It was set up for Cesaro and Sheamus to come out. They beat him down. The other member of Shields came out and got beaten down. So the heel trio stood tall to open Monday Night Raw. Thoughts?
I like the continuation of this. I think it's incredibly tragic that they did Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose without any kind of real build-up, because that was a fantastic match between the two. And it's just like, damn, that kind of sucks that they just sort of like tossed this out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was really, really, really good.
Right. All right. We'll get to that one in a second. Seth Rollins and Sheamus had a good match. Rollins got the win. Roman and Cesaro had a good match. Roman got the win.
Mm-hmm.
Retained his Intercontinental title. And then you had Joe and Ambrose. You had Jason Jordan, who got into it with his father before the match. He wanted a shot. It's like, Kurt Angle finally said, I'm telling you something as the general manager, not as your father, that holding your own is not the same as winning, which we've been saying for weeks now. It's like, finally, Kurt, tell him like it is. And Jordan stormed off as going, okay, Dad, or maybe I should say, okay, Kurt.
I'm waiting for him to go, you're not my real dad!
And then storms off to his room.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then there was Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose. Jordan got involved. But in the end, Samoa Joe choked out Dean Ambrose. Good match. All three matches were really good.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's a little tragic that they just sort of threw Ambrose and Joe out there like that.
Yes. Yes and no. It's what happens when you don't have a pay-per-view until February. Some of these matches will just happen on Raw.
I know. Still tragic.
So was there anything else that happened on this show?
Nope. That's it. Nothing else happened.
Was there anything else that happened on this show?
Nope. Not a thing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Sure.
Positive.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Not even, was there any Bray Wyatt on this show?
Nope. Didn't happen. Wasn't a thing.
Yes, it was a thing.
Nope.
Yes, it was.
Nope.
Yes, it was.
Nope.
They've given Matt Hardy new graphics for the Woken, a step up from his lack of graphics and impact. That's for damn sure. And Bray Wyatt says it's darkness versus light, good versus evil, which, you know, is his favorite game.
I thought war was his favorite game.
Well, the war of good versus evil. Matt says the great war has come from eons over space and time, and it continues on the battlefield as known as WWE. Bray Wyatt says Matt Hardy is woken, but he's the yin to his yang, and he's been waiting for him. Matt says his woken wisdom and broken brilliance will inform the masses. Bray talks about Matt is a golden calf, and Matt laughs because Bray says Matt's words mean nothing. Matt says they've crossed paths before. He says Sister Abigail has an addiction to evil. Bray asks why follow Jester when you can walk in the footsteps of a king? Choose wisely because only one can survive. Matt says Woken warriors are preparing for battle against Wyatt, and they will delete him. And then they went back and forth laughing.
Okay. This whole back and forth promo thing gives me goddamn heart palpitations because it's annoying as crap. Alright, I get Bray Wyatt once a week.
I thought he wasn't on the show.
What?
I thought he wasn't on the show.
I get him once a week. I want 2 minutes of undisturbed peace with my cult leader because that's all I get. And what happens? I get this back and forth BS with all these cut screens and the two of them yelling at each other. God damn it, if you're going to do that crap, just go down to the ring and yell at each other in the ring. That's what it's there for. Or at the very least, one of you be in the ring, one of you be on the Tron. I don't care which. But if you're going to yell at each other, this whole back and forth cut screen nonsense, no, get out of my face with that noise. Just go yell at each other like normal people.
They're not normal people.
I don't care. Bray has never had a problem with yelling at anybody from the Titantron or from the ring. Like, they can march him out there. He can do his crazy. He can do his thing. Whatever. Matt can come out, be his crazy self, do his thing, and they can do it together. But honestly, they either need to decide if they're going to fight or bang. I don't care which. Just make up your damn mind and do it. And stop this back and forth BS. Like, I seriously do not like it. It's annoying as crap. Especially when they do the cutscene in between every single jump. So you're either getting the Wyatt screech or you're getting the Woken screen. Every single time.
The Woken breaking sound.
So it's really annoying. It's like, can you just, it's like, do it once, that's fine, and then if you're going to do a back and forth, I can deal with a back and forth that way, because it's like via satellite or something. But to do the cut screens every single time, it's like, stop. Please stop.
Yeah, the cut screens were too much, but I love the back and forth. I thought they both told a good story, and this feud is intriguing, because we're going to get something different, and guess what? We're getting a little backstory on both men, and it's going to tie in perfectly. It is awesome. I'm enjoying it. She hates it with a passion. Because she's not a fan of the Matt Hardy character.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm always a slut for backstory on Bray. Always in for that. But yeah, I just... No. No. I hate this so much. I really, really, really do. I really don't like this at all. And it's only going to get worse.
Oh, it's going to get so much better.
This is going to be the most painful 3 months ever.
Yes.
Stop it.
I'm enjoying this so much. No, I really am. I like the Broken Matt Hardy character. It's the only reason that I kept watching Impact Wrestling for a while. And, yeah, I think I like that Matt seems motivated with it, and I think Bray's going to be motivated with it as well. You can see both men are really diving into it.
I think it's because of the creative freedom that they have with it. Like, from what I understand, Matt has a certain level of control, which means de facto that Bray has a certain level of control with it, because they're both probably working together on it, coming up with all of it. Which, that makes it very intriguing in and of itself, the fact that they get to have input in it. Because you know something good will come out of it. And yeah, Bray's very inspired, and Matt is very inspired, and I am curious to see what they do with Woken Matt Hardy versus Broken Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was always the big question, is could WWE duplicate the magic that happened in TNA? Because part of, I think, what made the Final Deletion catch fire was just, it was so out there, it just caught.
Right.
Like, people were, like, you just sit there and you watch it, and you're just like, oh my god, what the hell am I watching? And it's like a car accident, you just can't stop looking.
Right. And
so
it's getting such a more positive reaction on the internet these days. Bray's getting better reaction on the internet these days, which has not been the case lately.
No, because there for a while, I think they just didn't know what to do with Bray. And I think they haven't known what to do with Bray since they brought him over to Raw. Because I think they brought him over for a very specific reason to do certain feuds. People got hurt. He couldn't do them. And so they had to come up with other things for him to do while people, you know, healed up. And so now, and then he got sick. So it's just like, this hasn't been a good run for Bray, and I think he's finally finding his footing with this. So if it's beneficial to Bray and it's beneficial to Matt, that's great. That's awesome. God, this character just annoys the crap out of me so much.
I think it's very delightful.
I hate you.
Yes. Anyway, you good now?
Yes.
Yes. That'll do it for the Raw Push live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, twitch.tv/rackradioshow is WTR Sims presents WTR Championship Professional Wrestling, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Also starting tomorrow night, most likely, will be 20 Days of Jobber, celebrating the holidays right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we've now created a theme for the show. It's the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. What's the theme?
Because it's Hanukkah, y'all! That's right, get in the mood, because the Rack is gonna get lit! That's seriously the thing. So, tune in Thursday night, we'll have news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, and I think... Do you have a pay-per-view to preview?
Clash of Champions, and we'll talk the troops.
All that fun, happy stuff. And maybe a little, what's that show, Damnation?
That show would be going on as we're doing our show.
You may get live reactions to Damnation.
The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Instagram, Tumblr. We swear to God we're going to update our Instagram in the new year. That should be our New Year's resolution, to update our Instagram more often.
We'll get around to it eventually.
Saturday night, midnight at CB Radio. This week we're doing part of the 20 Days of Jobber. We'll be doing the Great and the Great Debate on holiday music. As the Great and Great Debate. Check out last Saturday's episode featuring Pez Dispensers. Yes, sponsored by Pez. CB Radio Saturday nights, midnight at CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio for the final time in 2017 presents WTR Wrestle Talk Radio, reviewing Clash of Champions. And we'll be back next Monday night for a Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Now, Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lens Ward, LENSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters.
Gerwick, the .nets, and the Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Jordan Lee at instagram.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack Gets Lit. And right back here for the Raw Post Show. For the final time in 2017. Live Cross Arrows on Wild Talk Radio Network. Because someone just looked at the calendar. Well, there was Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here, wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.